Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand. They're so hot right now. They're from Scotland. They're so hot right now. Oh, they're exciting. They're the new sound. Oh, have you heard them?
Shut up.
Did you hear them?
Shut up. It's too early.
It's nine. It's past 9 o'clock.
Nine.
What's your problem?
I'm sleepy.
Oh, what time did you go to bed?
I've just come from the West End stage.
Have you?
Yeah, I've just come from seeing Jane Asher.
Right.
In an amazing play.
Did you?
I was sitting in a plastic garden chair on the stage.
Right.
And then at one point, she needed to sit in it for the play.
I was asleep. What time did you go to sleep?
About one.
One? That's too late, man.
It is, isn't it?
You're doing an early morning. I mean, this is still relatively early morning. It's irresponsible to go to bed at one. It's totally irresponsible.
I was excited.
Were you high?
No.
I bet you were.
I wasn't.
I bet you.
Only on life.
Really?
Mm.
That's irresponsible.
Is it?
It's very irresponsible. You shouldn't touch life. I mean, for goodness sake, what are you thinking about? The kids out there listening to this show, they're going to go out and they're going to try it themselves. And it's a gateway thing, you know? Anyway, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. On this, it's a bit grey in London this morning, listeners. I hope it's nicer where you are. But we've got a fun show for you, so you don't have to worry about any of that. For the next 2 hours and 55 minutes, we'll be here with a mix of great music and chat. Do you like great music and chat?
I love mixing them together.
Do you?
Mm.
Well, we're the best at doing the mixing.
Good stuff. We got great music coming up. We're going to reveal the winner of last week's Cryptozoological Song Wars, launch this week's Song Wars, do Text the Nation, plus loads of fantastic chit-chat. Did I mention the music?
I mentioned the music before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's going to be some.
I wish I hadn't mentioned the chit, though. You know?
Really?
We're fine with the chat.
It's a load of chit.
Well, it's a little bit rude to mention the chit. So let's have some music right now. Here's the Duke Spirit with the Step and the Walk. That's Duke Spirit there with the Step and the Walk. Hi, this is Adam Buxton.
Hey, this is Joe Cornish. Good morning. We hope you're feeling very positive and happy this morning. If you're not, just go into the bathroom, look in the mirror and repeat over and over to yourself, I am the coolest one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am the coolest one.
I am the coolest one.
I am Mr. or Mrs. Cool.
I'm Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm
and that'll do
it.
The trick. And then get back into bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to challenge listeners this morning to stay in bed for the whole show.
Yes.
Not get out of the gym jams till noon.
Yeah, until the afternoon, basically.
If you're really strong, try and go the whole day.
Exactly.
You'll get that kind of pajama fudge at about 4 or 5 when it just feels wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you'll feel like a wino. But if you push through at about 7,
mm-hmm.
it'll start, you know, coming on again.
What you might want to change into some new gym jams then.
No.
Really?
No, that would defeat the purpose. You've got to go the whole day in the same gym jams.
Wow.
You feel a bit weird about tea time, but then come 6 or 7, it feels right again.
Life as Pete Doherty.
I mean, my gym jams. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it must be like.
But try and make it through till noon, listeners. There's no point in leaving the house today. There's no point in really leaving your bedroom.
Radio's got much better as well, you know, in the last few years. I'm not just talking about our own excellent show, but, you know, generally you could stick with Six Music pretty much all day.
All day.
If you didn't like the Six Music, you could switch over, listen to the last hour of Jonathan Ross's
programme. A different BBC station.
Exactly.
Just don't stray outside the walls of the big British castle.
No, you should never do that. It's totally
insane.
It's
just rammed with advertising hoardings, sellers of cheap victuals and trinkets.
People don't talk properly. It's very hard to understand what they're saying.
Stay in the castle walls.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad language
don't
out there.
Don't stray into the forbidden zone.
There's no rules.
There are mutants.
It's like the Omega Man outside the British
Omega.
Castle.
Omega. Have you ever heard of Bob Marley?
Is he... No.
Have you heard of Damian Marley?
No, yes.
you don't know what I'm talking
Joe's
about.
Joe's coaching me to give these answers.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, actually.
All right.
Some
then.
People will realise.
Bob
Let's
Marley.
Have some music. Yeah.
Oh, what, is that an advert?
No, it's an I Am Legend reference.
Oh, Bob Marley.
Get with it, Grandpa.
Did you bring in your I Am Legend stuff?
No.
Oh, when are you going to do
exciting,
that?
Isn't it? Maybe next week.
He plays Bob Marley in I Am Legend, though.
Listen, put a record on. I'll explain it.
Oh, you can't just launch in with the crypto stuff. Right now, here's one of my choices for you, listeners. This is from Frank Black's debut album, and it's a lovely song. Popped up on my iPod the other day and enjoyed it very much, so I hope you do too. This is Old Black Dawning.
There we go, that was De La Soul. They're a hip-hop band. Hip-hop's a new type of music that just involves talking.
Well, it's
people from Daghetto.
Some people call it rap, which means...
Just to chat.
Rhythm like and poetry.
Yeah.
It's an acronym.
It's not really, is it? That's what Coolio said. Rhythmic American poetry, but he made that up.
Well, Eric B. and Rakim say that as well.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a convenient acronym. It just means to talk.
Of course it does.
To chat.
Yeah.
And it's just talking and beats, so don't expect any melodies. Some of you might be upset or singing.
Mm.
And do expect some braggadocio.
Mm.
Mm. Is that the right word?
Braggadocio?
Braggadocio.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, that's hip hop.
That's hip hop dealt with. Can we deal with Bob Marley?
Yeah, in the film I Am Legend, I don't know whether anybody's seen it, there's a lady character. This film's set in 2012.
Mm.
She turns up at Will Smith's house. You know, they're the only people left in the world.
Yeah.
And he plays Bob Marley to her, and she's never heard of Bob Marley.
Right.
She says, "What do you mean? Do you mean Damien Marley?" He says, No. His father, Bob.
Mm.
She just stares at him blankly, doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So that struck me as stretching credulity a little bit.
Because in the future...
She's from Brazil.
Right.
And it's 2012.
Yeah.
And she's never heard of Bob Marley.
Seems a bit ludicrous, doesn't it?
I think everybody's heard of Bob Marley, haven't they?
Yeah, I would say so. He's got to be one of the most famous musicians on the planet.
Mm.
Him and the guy from the Jing Jang Jong.
Hovering above the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Now, I think it's time to deal with the song wars, don't
deal
you?
Deal with it.
Mm. Who will win the song wars today? Perhaps it will be Adam, or it could be Joe. Either one, you will be the one who decides by texting or emailing when you hear the clips.
Mm. You know, we get a very full email bag about song wars, and the reactions from listeners vary enormously.
Yeah, well, it's nice that we're getting reactions, you know,
it
because
very
we,
nice.
We put a lot of effort into the wars of the songs.
But there's no unity in response. For instance, Caroline People says, "This week, I think both were a bit weak."
Mm.
Mm, Adams was lazy, long, and filled with ennui de vivre. Bit disappointed, really, says Caroline.
Dear Caroline.
Whereas Max Ellis says, "Hello. I quite like Joe's song as far as the structure and lyrical content, but his high-pitched squealing made my head hurt, so I'm plumping for Adam's Nessie special." Thank you.
Dear, oh dear.
They're polite, but rude at the same time. It's sort of passive-aggressive, listeners.
Yeah. Well, they have every right to expect the best. Actually, that's not true. I just said that.
No, they can expect nothing.
They've got no right to expect the best. We don't get paid any extra.
If you think of the price of the license fee,
yeah,
then divide it by the number of services the BBC provides,
mm-hmm,
then divide that by the number of DJs on Six Music.
Yeah, as we have done.
That's how much they're spending on us.
We've actually done this calculation.
We should do that calculation.
Yeah.
Then we can work out actually how much money you should be getting value for. And it's going to be under a penny.
Right.
Isn't it? It will be under a penny for 3 hours.
And that...
You might as well just give you drones.
It doesn't give you... Exactly.
So, drone wars.
Whoa.
How about that?
Something like that would be good. That's almost what we've got this week.
Dean Summock. Really? I'm voting for Joe's Sasquatch song this week, even though I am, in fact, from Saskatchewan. And there don't seem to be any Sasquatches here.
That's very disappointing.
That's BS, Dean. That's a load of BS. I've seen some rather hairy people, but never a Sasquatch. Well, try harder, because they're out there. Here's one. Listen to this. Lily Elborough. Adam, you've let me down. You've let the show down. And you probably know in your hearts that you've let yourself down.
My name's Mike. I'm a big fish horse. What are you talking about?
She's suggesting you've got more than one heart. You're like Doctor Who.
Good Lord.
Someone's just emailed in a spoilt ballot paper.
Try and make people
Peter
happy.
Fletcher.
And this is what they do. They throw it right back in your face and they slap you and then they run around the back and they kick you.
Paul Bradley says, "Can't say I was too taken with either song."
Oh, my Lord.
Why do we bother? Should we close down Song Wars?
You know what? We could close
Let's
it down.
Let's shut it down. I mean, people are... Well, you're the only... People who like it, ladies of production.
Yeah.
Plus, you're the producer. If you didn't say that, it would be a very bad thing.
No, everyone hates it.
Well, you know what? We could take a break because it is hard to do the songs week after week.
Are we ready for the result, then?
All right, let's hear the result.
It is hard to do them.
You know?
Here's the result.
song, or cryptozoological songs.
Cornish takes it, I'm afraid. I was expecting to have lost it.
I was hoping.
It's very close, though. 42% plays 58. Very close.
Switched all week. Who was
did it? Yeah. It was switching around all week.
Wow.
It's not really fair, is it?
Well, life's not fair. I've resigned myself. Apparently not.
Isn't it?
You'd expect that it would be, wouldn't you? Seeing as it's like all you've got, and you have to live it for years. But no, it's not even fair. Anyway, let's hear the winning song. This is Joe's song about the Sasquatch.
Mm. Oh, oh dear. Here we go.
Baby, let me take you down to Sasquatchuan. Me little friend of mine goes by the name of Bigfoot. Gonna rip your arms out and pull your head off, baby. Honey, do not be afraid to step into this cave too. Meet a friend of mine, he's big and hairy and smelly. You might have seen him in a documentary on the telly. They captured him on Super 8, but they can't catch him, he's a Super 8. The missing link with the dreadful stink. He's 10 feet tall with enormous balls, yeah. You might think he don't exist, I'll prove it, baby, don't resist. Just take my hand, watch for his tracks. He'll eat us up like a Twin Twix pack.
Oh, we could try and make a plastic cast, but believe me, baby, we won't last. No, human being can run fast enough to escape a creature that's that fast. Believe it,
I can understand you're skeptical. You wanna collect his samples and receptacles. Don't believe the cryptozoological, but believe me, baby, the world ain't always so logical.
They call him Bigfoot, some call him Sasquatch. There's also Yeti, he'll make spaghetti of your insides. Nobody can hide because he exists. You know his name is
Bigfoot.
That is the song that the nation voted their favourite of all time in the context of Song Wars. There was only one other one.
Congratulations.
I liked your one, Adam.
Thank you very much.
I always like yours better than mine because I'm so sick of mine by the time I finish.
Right. How are you with this week's one?
Sick of it.
Are you?
I'm sick of it.
How long is yours this week?
40 minutes.
Is it? 40 minutes. Mine's 1 minute.
Really?
It's very short.
That's
this
a
week.
Major discrepancy between lengths.
Yeah, it's very pithy, mine, because I've been working hard on jingles for the new podcast.
Ooh, oh,
we've
that's
got
good,
a
man.
Podcast
Thanks
for you,
taking
listeners.
Care of that.
Well, you know,
I just sit at home in a bath of champagne.
Do you?
Yeah.
Just splashing little bits of champagne on you, and maybe use. What do you use for shampoo then?
I can't say.
Baby sham?
It doesn't froth very easily.
Does it not?
No.
Okay. Butter. We have more Song Wars for you later on in the show. You'll be happy to hear, listeners. But right now, here's some real music for you. This is the Raconteurs.
What do you mean real music? How rude. How wooed, as Jar Jar Binks would
very
say.
Rude. Yeah. It's nice to hear Jar Jar Binks quoted on a Saturday morning.
I'm going to be quoting Dobby the House Elf a bit later, so stay tuned.
Oh, man, you didn't see the J.K. Rowling thing last
All
night.
All the rubbish CGI creatures are here.
Did you see that? A year in
no,
the life of Rowling.
No, let's talk about it
later. Talk about it later. Here's the Raconteurs.
Steady As She Goes by the Raconteurs. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news with Harvey Cook. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's embarrassing,
isn't
it? How
embarrassing.
That just broke at the end there.
What a shame.
That's very awkward.
What a lazy band.
Is
Who
that,
were they?
Oh, I assumed that was a problem with us.
I'm sure it
there.
Was the band.
The band.
Who are they?
That was Ash.
I'll make a note.
You'd expect that Ash would have it a bit more together. Then are you just writing, making a little note there?
Song slows down.
Breaks at the end there, put.
At the end.
And
please check.
Please fix as
please
well.
Please withdraw and re-release.
And re-release. With fixed ending.
I know Charlotte Hathley, who used to be in Ash as well, so I can get to them. Not sure she's in touch with them anymore. Maybe she is, I don't know.
She hates them, man.
I don't know.
She probably hates them.
She probably loves them.
She probably absolutely hates
she
them.
She probably loves them.
And she's probably cheering that the end of the song broke.
Broke.
Yeah.
It's very, very poor.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We were talking about Louis Theroux's programme last weekend. He went inside San Quentin. You only caught the last 10 minutes of the show.
I did. I try to miss Louis' programmes because he's a good friend of mine, and it makes me jealous.
It makes you a little bit jealous.
If I miss them, I just don't... Then I can say to him, oh, I missed your show.
Yeah, but
I'm sure it was really good.
If you miss them, though, then you can't join in the water cooler chats that always occur throughout the week.
I don't hang out at the water cooler anymore.
I love the water cooler.
Do you?
Yeah, I mainly... only go there as soon as Louis's programs.
I saw him
finish.
At the very end looking very sort of dismissive at a mass murderer.
I don't think he was a mass murderer. He'd done a bit of torturing and home invasion.
Louis wasn't impressed by him. He was looking down his nose slightly at him.
Well, yeah, exactly. He can't condemn them utterly, can he? He has to remain impartial because it's the big British castle going out there being represented by Theroux. Mm. But he certainly can look sniffy at them. And he absolutely took full advantage of his sniffy powers. But the guy who was in there for, I think, 500 years or something.
That's a long time. Do they keep him alive for that length of time?
Yeah, he'll do the whole stretch. And he was basically saying, it's not so bad, you know? Louis was saying, wow, that's depressing, isn't it, that you're going to be in here for all those 500 years? The guy was saying, no, the main things you've got to get rid of in your mind, right, to make it bearable, you just got to basically set your standards right down. You got to lower your sights.
He said it was women.
Yeah, forget about women and forget about what goes on the outside world. He mentioned boat rides. It's one thing that a lot of people mention, I noticed. I was watching a thing about...
Well, a boat ride. Someone else mentioned a boat ride.
Charles Bukowski. I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about boat rides being something that made life worth living.
It's euphemistic, I suppose, but it's not that euphemistic, because they are wonderful.
Yeah.
They bob around.
When was the last time you went on a boat ride?
A boat ride? I don't know. I don't know.
Never go down the Thames?
I don't know.
On a boat?
I'm trying to think. A boat ride. I've been down the Thames in a speedboat.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant boat ride.
When did you go on there? Were you with James Bond?
I went to pitch to direct an advert that I didn't get, but it was an advertising company that had a private speedboat.
Speedboat?
Yeah, picked you up and took you to Canary Wharf.
We want you to direct an advert for us, Cornish. We're going to pick you up in the speedboat.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
We changed our mind, Cornish. We don't want you to direct the advert. Get back on the speedboat.
The advert's for guns and bombs. What do you got? What was your idea?
Guns a man, bombs a woman, and they're happy.
Don't like it. You're out. We're going to get the
back
guy
on the speed back in boat.
You can't even go on the speedboat. You got to go on the bus.
On the bus boat.
So there you go. The guy who was doing 500 years, that was the main thing that...
He'll never go on a
speedboat. He'll never
go
on a speedboat. Unless it's...
It's hard to come to terms with.
What would be the circumstances whereby he went on a speedboat?
If they had to transfer him to another prison really fast.
Right, if the whole prison got invaded and blew up and stuff, and it turned out that he was, despite all his hideous crimes, he was the only man for the job to...
I bet he's quite a character. I bet if there was some kind of prison breakout, some kind of Michael Bay-style adventure happened, I bet that mass murderer would be a good... He'd be wisecracking.
I'm not so sure. You know, the thing
he'd
that came across...
Of him because he's capable of anything, but... But he'd be pretty cool.
One of the things that came across most strongly in the doco was how boring most of the criminals were. In fact, all of the criminals
Have you not seen Con Air?
Well, this is what I'm saying,
Have you seen Reservoir?
None of the personalities.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Yeah, yeah.
Criminals are...
We've been misled.
Brilliant.
We've been misled.
They're fun. They're wisecracking.
Listen, I'm telling you.
They're violent, but, oh, sometimes that can be really cool.
I'm telling you, I think we've been misled.
Head in a vice?
No. You know, it's not nearly as fun as you would expect. And also, I watch Prison Break. You don't even watch Prison Break. All the people in Prison Break, they're fun, they're sparky. They're generally in there for the wrong reasons.
Is that not real?
And it's all the people...
Criminals are boring.
They're boring. They're quite stupid.
They're stupid?
Yeah. And they're generally just quite tedious people.
Note to Hollywood.
Yeah? So can you just put that under the ash note there?
Under that note to Hollywood.
Criminals.
Stop glamorizing.
Yeah. Do
Louis,
it more
Louis
accurately.
Says,
stop it.
They're boring.
Okay. Now it's time to chase some pavements here on BBC Six Music. This is Adele.
Have you got a stamp?
Yeah, here you go.
Thanks.
That's Adele with Chasing Pavements. Is that a big hit, that one?
Yeah, that's a big hit. I heard that on Capital Radio this morning, London's mass market radio station. So it's definitely broken through to... the mainstream there.
Definitely, you know.
Are you suggesting it's time for it to maybe leave Six Music and go on to...
A little bit, because we're...
more mainstream things?
We're trying to cater for the margins here, you know, and the margins get very upset and vocal sometimes.
They get scribbled in the whole time.
Exactly, doodled. People go around, they just do a doodle right
there
in the margin.
The Margins?
What's it?
Is there a band called The Margins?
Oh, I don't know.
What's it?
What's it?
For a moment, I saw you as you would look like if you were a tramp.
What's that?
Well, I'm heavily bearded at the moment, so that's not very hard to do.
There should be a band called The Margins. That'd be a good name. Someone can nick that.
You know what happened to me this week, right? Which has nearly happened to me a number of times, that I've always just avoided it at the last minute. I ordered a DVD from the internet, and it took a couple of weeks to arrive, and it turned
from America.
from the Americans, and a 2-DVD set of interviews with Charles Bukowski I mentioned before there. Very interesting stuff. But the DVD case, right, the little teeth thing that hold the disc in place.
There's a name for that.
Yeah, what would
I
you
don't know what it is.
No.
Someone will tell us.
The spindle, the teeth, I don't know what you would call it. Anyway, you know how sometimes there's a little technique that's required. It's not as easy as just popping it out. Mm. You have to maybe push down in the center in order to release the DVD, or maybe you have to squeeze
pinch it
in some way. I tried all this. None of it was working. And then in my frustration, I just yanked the sides of the disc. It broke.
It snapped.
It snapped. As I was pulling it out of the, and then you think, this is not right. This is, you know, this design is bad.
Did you do a Bukowski-esque howl of rage?
Yeah, I went and I got really drunk the way Charles Bukowski would have done for the rest of the day, and I wrote some poems about it. But it was depressing, and you know, you got all the trouble of ordering the thing, and you think, this is wrong. So much of the world is like this now. It's over-designed to the extent that it's just become totally self-defeating. Do you have, has that ever happened to you? You've actually bust the thing, pulling it out?
No, because I think there's a way to do it.
Well, obviously, but I was, you know, I was saying before, I tried all the different ways, the squeezing and the teasing and the pinching and the...
Yeah.
None of it happened.
Did you twist?
Well...
Rotate? Did you rotate the disc?
What good would rotating it? It didn't screw in and out.
Maybe it did.
Maybe
it's a new American technique.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know.
It's depressing. Excuse me, I did a little belch there.
Put it this way, I think it's probably your fault, not the DVD packages.
So I can't sue anybody?
Probably not.
Oh, that's a shame. Have you ever sued anyone?
No.
It would have been good if you said yes, though. Then we could have had a little story about it.
Oh, well. Listen, coming up soon is going to be Text the Nation time, the most important part of the show, where we ask you a question of national significance. You text us, and we, of course, collate the information and send it to the relevant government department, who then issue a piece of carefully considered policy and lawmaking based upon it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Gordon Brown deals with it mainly.
It's not true.
Now, here's a free music choice. This is one of yours, Joe Cornish.
Yeah, this is also from the compilation put together by the Soupy Poopy Furry Animals bassist. I keep going on about this. I apologise. It's called The Furry Selection. It's a compilation of kind of classic dub reggae type business. And this is one of my favourite ones off of that. It's by Susan Cadogan. It's called Do It Baby.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's the Nation's favourite feature, Text the Nation. And before that, you heard a session track there that was recorded for the Janice Long Show on the 20th of February 1985. It was Furniture with Brilliant Minds.
Not the Nation's favourite feature.
What is it?
I'm just being the small print. That's fine.
Oh, I see, yeah. But it's not provable. They can never get us for that.
Really?
No.
No, it's a lie. And they're not tolerated at the Big British Castle.
Yeah, but how could they disprove it? How could they?
They could do a survey and most of the nation would not be aware of that feature.
I didn't realise you were going to pull out a survey.
Yeah, they could easily do a survey.
Oh, a survey.
They're always doing surveys. Most of the news is generated by stupid surveys.
Forgot about the survey. That was the one chink in my armour, and you just went in there and mentioned the survey. Don't forget as well that we are going to be putting up the Text the Nation jingle on the WAP site. Someone emailed or got in touch during the week and said, where is the WAP site? How do you get to the WAP site? And you get there on your phone, says Jude. What do you dial in?
If you've got internet on your phone.
Internet on your phone.
If you go to the BBC mobile site.
BBC.
If you access the Six Music website on your phone, that is the WAP site.
Yeah, right. Let's not get into it.
Well, people want to know.
Yeah, but they can find out from better sources than you and Jude.
I don't know if they can.
I'm not convinced by either of you. I mean, you don't know anything.
No.
She's away from the mic and she barely knows.
But I'm trying to spark debate. What are you doing?
I'm just encouraging things to move forward towards the theme of this week's Text the nation's favourite thing.
Now, this is inspired by a trip I had to Sticky Fingers, which is a restaurant in London's Kensington district, owned by the former Rolling Stones bassist Bill Wyman. He was the bassist, right? He wasn't like, I'm just checking. You know, sometimes these things sort of slip your mind. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the bassist. And Sticky Fingers, as far as I'm aware, has been around for at least 20 years or something. It was there at the beginning of the 80s in the kind of theme restaurant boom. You know, it sort of started with the Hard Rock Cafe, and then, of course, in the 90s, you had Planet Hollywood and places like that. But Sticky Fingers, he got in there fairly early with the whole thing, you know, when it was still fairly unfashionable and ludicrous for a pop star to be doing that
sort of
thing.
I suppose it's always been traditional for famous people when they retire to open restaurants and hold court. It's what Rocky Balboa did.
That's right.
In the film Rocky Balboa.
I haven't seen that yet.
Stood around looking like a brick wall, boring people with stories about things that never happened.
Yeah.
Because he's fictional. But then the restaurant was fictional as well, so why am I complaining?
Sounds great. Really, I've got to see that film.
I love fictional restaurants.
So, you know, have you ever been to Sticky Fingers?
I don't think I have. Certainly not for years and years and
years. It's like a burger joint. It's very similar to the Hard Rock
Cafe. It's classy American food, but, well, high-quality burgers, and presumably it's got Rolling Stones memorabilia.
All over the walls.
Does it? Has it got anything good?
It's got some wacky posters, and it's got various guitars that you would covet.
What would you kind of want? You'd want stuffed naked ladies. You'd want drugs paraphernalia,
wouldn't you? I guess so.
You'd want, I don't know, some dead groupies.
Little bits of mix.
Died in body. Overdosed in the 70s.
That kind of thing.
You'd want them, the available members of the band, in glass cases.
I got one of them.
Did you?
Bill Wyman.
He was there?
He was there.
Wow.
He turned around. It was a very quiet Monday afternoon that we went along, and this is with the children. We took them out for a treat, and they were up for a burger, so we went and had the burger. Quite a disgusting burger.
Was it not very nice?
Oh, my lordy. It was ranked, despite the fact that the restaurant has been rated as, like, one of the top burger purveyors in London. Anyway, maybe it was an off day, but we turned round, and suddenly there was Bill standing there, and because I was thinking to myself, I bet Bill doesn't come here and eat this stuff.
Well, he probably goes there, but no, he doesn't eat
this stuff. I turned round, and there he was, standing there with his children.
Mind you, does he have teeth? Oh, but did he just mash it up? Like a tortoise.
Someone mashes it up for him, and then he has it through a straw. No, he's in good shape, man. He's in good shape.
Is he in good shape?
Yeah. He was looking pretty good, actually. Mm. Yeah. So I was impressed by that. Anyway, it got me thinking, like, maybe the whole theme restaurant thing should be due for a bit of a revival, because there haven't been too many. You know, the last one I can think of was the Model Cafe, which was a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
With Naomi Campbell and Elle Macpherson, wasn't it? And
yeah.
Cindy Crawford.
Elmer Fudd.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. so we were wondering, listeners, if you could come up with some ideas for more contemporaneous theme restaurants for celebrities.
We'd like you to think of a celebrity, think of the name of their restaurant, what food they would serve, and how they would decorate it. For instance, Steven Spielberg had one, didn't he?
In Hollywood.
Did he? Yeah, he had one. It was called Dive! ! It didn't really connect to anything he'd done. Maybe it connected to Sequest DSV, his executive-produced stupid submarine thing.
You would have thought that he could have gone for so much else apart from that.
Like, well, in Dive, it was like you were in a submarine.
Yes.
And then every 15, 20 minutes, it went dive, 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 and water all filled up in the windows.
Oh, my lordy. Yeah. I've got another fun fact about that restaurant.
Yeah.
Thomas Dolby created music.
Did he?
For it.
Wow.
To be playing in the restaurant. I'm pretty sure about that.
There's one in London called the Rainforest Cafe, isn't there, where there's a kind of a storm and gorillas.
That's right.
Not celebrity-based.
Not really, no. We want ideas for specifically celebrity-based things. So you got Bill Wyman. Obviously, he's gone for Sticky Fingers. That's the name of a Rolling Stones track, isn't it?
I'm pretty
sure. And it's good because it ties into food. He's got all his bases covered there. He's got good old American food, you know, burgers, rock and roll, food. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. He's got his memorabilia on the walls. So that's the kind of thing we're after. But different celebrity versions thereof.
Yeah, text 64046. If you're listening to this on Listen Again, you can email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. There'll be no prize and no competitive element to Text the Nation whatsoever.
We scorn competition here.
We hate it. Everybody is equal.
Everyone hates competition.
Apart from the best one.
There's no absolute point to it whatsoever. Now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for some more great music. Here's the Cardigans.
Ah, yes, the Cardigans with my favourite game. That was the one with the lady in the car. She has a crash. She flies out of the car. Ooh, onto the road. It's exciting.
Does that happen in the video?
Don't you remember that one?
No.
It's a classic video.
Is it?
Nina Persson. I like that name, you know? Nina Persson. It's like being called George Mann or something.
Oh, I watched The Invasion this week.
Well done.
It's a film with Nicole Kidman and Craig Fairbrass. What's the name of the guy that plays James Bond? It's Craig Fairbrass.
Anthony Stodgkins.
Anthony Daniels. Jeremy Stodgkins.
Yeah, and Tony Stodgkins.
Douglas
Craig
Bubble Trousers.
Bighead.
What's he called?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. There you go. The Invasion's a film, What Went Wrong. It was originally directed by Herschel Gordon Lewis, Michael Herschel, the guy that did, what was it called?
We're pretty on top of all the facts today, listeners.
The one about Hitler, Downfall.
Downfall, right.
Yeah, he did that and he got headhunted by Hollywood and given a big remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers to make. But then it all went wrong. He started making a more serious film than the Hollywood suits wanted, so they booted him off. And bought in the Waka Waka Kowski brothers to try and zip it up a bit, the creators of The Matrix. They shot some new stuff, used some innovative editing techniques to try and give it a bit of vim and pep.
Are they still using their little bullet time stuff in there?
No, their tactic for livening up The Invasion is it's about a virus, as every film is these days. Mm-hmm. But their tactic for livening it up is every time anyone mentions the virus, they go into the person's head and into their bloodstream, and you see the globules of virus, and then it goes out of their heads again.
Right.
Yeah? And they also cut forward in time. Mm-hmm. They intercut little moments from scenes, like what, who, just to get you confused and excited.
And the
it
moments
work.
The moments that are in the future, are they sort of desaturated and slightly blue?
No.
They don't do anything
it's
like that?
It's all wrong, but it's nevertheless has some pretty good bits in it.
Right.
Where you can see the director's original intentions coming through. But my girlfriend and I became fascinated with Nicole Kidman's forehead.
Right.
And Annabelle commented that it never moves.
I had a big argument with someone about this the other day.
And she's right. That's how she gets through Nicole Kidman films.
Apparently.
She just watches the forehead. And there is absolutely zero movement from the eyebrows. But before you tell me your thing, I'll just finish this thought. So in the end, we did notice that in one scene, the left eyebrow raised very, very slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was down, and then it cut away, then it cut back, and it was up. So we think that they detach the eyebrows, mm-hmm. and that between takes, you know, they're raised, the left one's raised a bit if something awful's happening.
Right, a little bit like stop motion.
But this is why she plays robots and brainwashed people the whole time.
I see ladies, yeah. Because she's got
absolutely no movement.
Facial range. Well, my friend's theory was that she's had a lot of surgery.
Botox.
And a lot of Botox in there. And I said, no, not Kidman.
She must have done.
She's a natural beauty.
I've never seen less expression. But then we started looking at Craig Fairbrass's eyebrows.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
John Duncan's.
Yeah. And they weren't moving either.
Were they not?
So maybe this is just how to be a great screen actor. To completely still face. They do say stillness, don't they?
Absolutely. You've got to have
completely
the stillness.
Completely still face, no expression. You see, Roger Moore, his eyebrows went up and down the whole time.
Right.
And he became a laughingstock.
Exactly. No control over his eyebrows. But Kidman,
to be a great actor,
micromanages the eyebrows.
Yeah.
That's impressive stuff. She's weird, isn't she, Kidman? I saw her in The Golden Compass the other day. And I guess she was pretty good, pretty well cast in that, because she plays a sort of ice queen person. You know,
she's good at that,
and that's about the limit of her abilities. Would you?
How many stinkers has she had in a row, though?
Ooh, loads.
She's had so many stinkers. We'll do some research.
It does hurt. She's got a big stink trail.
She's leaving a trail of stench behind her that surely must have some repercussions soon. Anyway,
you'd think. Here's some music for you. This is "I Was a Cub Scout" with Pink Squares.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation time. Before that, you heard "I Was a Cub Scout" with Pink Squares. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, and we have some of your suggestions for celebrity restaurants.
Yes, Adam, thanks very much. Here are some of the texts that have just come in. Neil in Leeds, he's 68 minutes into his bed in.
Is he?
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Good job, man. I wish I was there with you, Neil in Leeds.
Do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, he sounds nice. I bet his bed's comfy.
Hmm.
You know?
Gordon Ramsay could have a blue-coloured establishment where he sells, wait for it, food! Whilst he swears indiscriminately at any and every poor soul who has the misfortune to cross his foul-mouthed path, he could call it Angry Gordon's Blue Restaurant.
Right, nice. What is Ramsay's real restaurant called? Is it,
Claridge's.
Is it Claridge? No, it's... Which one is it?
It's called Globodyne.
Globodyne. Mm,
it's on a space restaurant.
Yeah.
Welcome to Globodyne.
And it's got robots and they,
sure it
they've
does.
Got lasers. They kill you if you don't like your
there
food.
There are topless girls with silver on them dancing in tubes with air.
Robodyne.
Jetting upwards from
I
the floor.
Love that restaurant.
What's that? That's the one in Outland, isn't it?
What?
If you could visit any science fictional restaurant, I'd visit the one in Outland.
With girls in tubes?
Yeah, baby.
Are you not confusing that with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
No.
Augustus Gloop getting stuck in the
Someone
chocolate
out there
tube.
Will know what I'm talking about. Here's one. This was inevitable. This is an anonymous one. Come to Doherty's Junkie Food Restaurant.
There you go.
No food served. Rock stars don't eat. No memorabilia on the walls. Only blood.
Yeah, nice. Because everyone's nicked all the memorabilia and sold it for crack, presumably. What about...
Dan in Birmingham. What? How about Oasis start up a soup kitchen called Do You Want to Roll With It?
That's good. Come
is that
on.
Quite good?
That's good.
I don't know. That's got a sort of Chris
Do you
want to
roll with it? I like that one. Who's that, Dan in Birmingham?
Yeah.
Dan, if we had a prize, you'd get one.
Hey, it's only the third text.
I don't believe it's going to get better than Do You Want to Roll With It?
Steve in St. Neots. Is that a place called that? That's good. It's like Neo from The Matrix. The Kaiser Chiefs could open an all-you-can-eat curry house called Ruby, 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 Rubies.
Nice.
Yeah?
That is good,
I
man.
I get that. Well, what's the curry house connection?
What do you think? Ruby curry?
Oh, is that a
Ruby
type of
Murray?
Curry? Oh, I don't really eat curry. But here's another one from Rusty. Brad Pitt should open an all-you-can-eat buffet called The Bottomless Pit.
Nice.
I like it because he doesn't have much of a bottom.
No. Oh, you were thinking about it from quite a different angle.
I know it's like all you can eat, but your stomach is a bottomless pit. But the actual literal reading of the phrase would be bottomless pit.
Yeah.
Pit without a bottom. And a wool shop called Pitt's Knits, where he can make and sell bottomless merch.
That's nice.
That's short for merchandise. That's from Rusty.
Very good.
That's good.
He does have a very small bottom, doesn't he? In Thelma and Louise.
Have we seen it, the bottom?
In Thelma and Louise, you see his
is
bottom.
Is it nude? Then.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
It's nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it as nice as Michael Douglas's bottom in, is it Basic Instinct where he, and it's like...
You see his bottom in almost all his films,
it's like two skin-coloured hot water bottles hung from a belt.
That's what his face is like as well, though.
Is it? I like him.
That's what my face is
Keep those
is
coming in,
into.
Please. The text number is 64046. Celebrity... Restaurants, the food they'd serve, and the decor and stuff.
Can you say it with a little bit more enthusiasm, please?
I'm just being cool.
Like with
six
a spring
music
in your
step. Cool. Six music is cool.
Is it? All right,
It's
then.
Cool to be bored. Bored of the world.
Here's a track that I've chosen for you, listeners. And this happens to be coming out this week, I think, as a
How
single.
Boring.
The album comes out later on in the month. And it's by a young lady. I think her name is pronounced Tao, T-H-A-O, maybe it's Thou, and where is she from? I forget, but she's from America somewhere. And this is a really nice album. It's called something like The Bees and the Stings, or it's got bees in it. Anyway, this is the single from the album. Hope you enjoy it. This is Bag of Hammers. That was Tao, or Thou, I don't know how you pronounce it, with Bag of Hammers. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's trail time! Just making up as they go along.
Yeah, that's another example of this new wave of music that's coming across from America. It's called rap hop. It's really exciting.
Rhythm and poetry.
Mm.
That's the Sugar Hill Gang, of course, with Rapper's Delight. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Yeah, so if Claire Scothern is listening, is that right? It's S-C-O-T-H-E-R-N. Claire Scothern, I'm not sure where you are. You're probably in your house. Can you see a man called Alan Hobbs? Have a look with your eyes around the place. You might spot a bloke called Alan Hobbs in your vicinity. He would like us to help him propose to you. He wants to marry you up.
He wants to do the marriage thing.
Marriage you all over the shops.
And now listen, is she called Susan?
Claire.
Claire. That's not a good start, is it?
It's a good question, though. Is she called Susan? No, she's not. She's called Claire.
It's the kind of thing you've got to check before you go into the marriage.
Yeah, make sure you get the right
name. If you think it's Susan, wrong. You shouldn't be getting married. It's Claire. Now, this is for the rest of your lives, okay? Now, I know celebrities and
for such time
like
as
this.
You wish to blast her into space. I like using the Flash Gordon marriage vows.
Listen, if you are going to blast her into space, that's one thing. But if it's just some smutty affair, or you just lose interest, or you're not prepared to do the work that goes into a successful marriage, then I don't want you to enter into this contract.
Imagine then kids. Now, if they're listening to this, hopefully you are listening.
Right.
He's just proposed all over your face.
Right.
What are you going to do about that, Claire?
What an amazing... This could
maybe
either
they're
be...
they're crying and hugging.
Yeah.
Maybe they're punching each other. maybe they're just confused. She's like, what? You? Who knows?
There could just be awkward silence.
How lovely of you to have asked us, Alan, to help you. And we're very pleased to help with that engagement. Let us know whether she says yes or no.
Yeah, exactly. We'd like to hear about that. She might just be sort of staring off, pretending she didn't hear. Like, kind of really washing the dish. Oh, these dishes are very... Stop talking, Claire. Listen to the radio. No, it's okay. The dishes need to be done. Don't worry about it. I've got to go out. Bye.
Well, congratulations if you do say yes, and it's exciting. Let us know what happened. Well done.
We'd love to know how it all turned out. And if anyone else out there would
call us in 40 years,
would like
tell us
to,
how it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. would like us to help out with any wedding proposals, that kind of thing. Mm. We could also marry you. I'm sure we could get the right paperwork to do all that marriage kind of stuff. You know, that wouldn't be a problem. I'm like a priest.
It's time for the news now, here on Six Music, read by Harvey Cook.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation time. Before that, you heard Teardrop Explodes with Reward. This is Adam and Joe on Six Music.
Max Ellis says... Hello, Adam and Joe. I'd like to visit a Radiohead-themed restaurant called In Rainbows. Mm. The building would be a giant fiberglass rainbow trout, and diners would have to dress in worm costumes. There would be piped ambient digesting noises to accompany the eating experience. Food would be weed-based confections. What sort of a weed does he mean there? Garden weeds.
Weed. No, because you're under sea, right?
Oh, seaweed.
Yeah, so it's like In Rainbows.
Go back. He's building a bed for a five-year-old called Gulliver. It's a good name.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you think about that for the Radiohead restaurant?
That's nice, man. It's elaborate. It's realistic as well. I'm sure that the band would be into that, definitely. Wouldn't you think?
I don't know. I don't know as much about them as you do.
I don't know much about them. But, that's good, man. Who was that from?
That was from Max Ellis.
Well done, Max.
Well done, Max. Here's another one. How about Pete? Here's another Pete Doherty one.
Yeah. Have we not got any Amy Winehouse ones?
Not yet, no. Pete Doherty's Cracker Den serving a wide range of cheese and biscuits.
I thought of that one as well, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, did I? No. I was thinking of Jerry Seinfeld. He would have wisecrackers.
That's from Andrew Thomas.
That's all that would be on the menu.
Here's one I like a lot from Mick Ayling. Stephen Hawking's Food and Physics Restaurant.
Yeah.
The diners sit in chairs, just like Stephen's, and order their food via his patented talking-type pad. Rather than the normal table-based dining experience, the diners drive around the restaurant eating their meal from their laps. Every half an hour, the siren goes. Then for 5 minutes, everyone charges around in a massive game of dodrums.
I like that.
I had
Stephen Hawking on my list.
The restaurant would be called A Brief History of THYME Time.
Nice.
Love the show and my mum, says Mick Ayling.
That's very good. All bases covered there. I was hoping that maybe someone would send in a suggestion for a Russell Crowe theme restaurant of some kind.
What would that be?
Well, I haven't got any ideas. I'm asking.
It'd be very gruff, abusive service. Yeah. There'd be punch-ups.
Exactly. You'd get slapped if you took too long to order, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Waiters would push you around.
You'd say, hello, what are the specials? What do you want?
Just hurry up, mate. I haven't got all day. That kind of thing. It would be like a lot of steak, you know? Mm. Very rare steak. Be a big, rare steak restaurant, and you'd carry your knife around. I wonder what Kidman's theme restaurant would be like as well.
I don't know.
Any suggestions, listeners?
Here's one from William Ross. I like this. It's a very stripped-down email. It says, Peas Academy. Peas-based dinners served by Steve Guttenberg. Space,
then the word Terminator, space, then his name, Will.
Gordon Ramsay, it turns out, has about 8 or 9 or 10 even restaurants dotted around the world, all of which have many Michelin stars. His latest is a new one that's opening this week, I think, and it's called, check this out, Foxtrot Oscar. Because that's like saying F off.
Oh, is it?
Yes, Foxtrot Oscar.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well done, Ramsay.
Is that all there is to his bag of tricks?
Yep.
More than we've got, I suppose.
He's the swearing chef.
He's got something.
He's got the Michelin stars, though. He didn't get those for swearing.
Michelin.
Michelin. L'étoile de Michelin. Oui.
Très bon niveau.
What would our theme restaurant be like? We'd just serve sour grapes, wouldn't we?
No, we'd do combo platters.
Would
you
we?
Know, yeah. Adam and Joe would be all about twinned up stuff.
It would be like children's food, mainly,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Everything
for the,
would.
For the very young. We need to think about that a bit,
kiddie
I think.
Food.
Keep those texts coming in. The text number is 64046. Or you can email them adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk, something like that.
And we are going to unveil our new songs for this week's Song Wars after this next track. This is Feist. This is presumably her new single, is it? After the intoxicating 1, 2, 3, 4, this is an ad for an iPod. This one is called My Moon, My Man.
It's time for Song Wars. It is the Song Wars. Time for some Song Wars. Song. It's a battle between two songs. One song and two songs. Both the songs are composed by Adam and Joe themselves and inspired by a given theme. We play clips and the listeners choose which one they like, and the winning song will be played at the end.
Yeah, that was the original Song Wars jingle.
Here's an email pertaining to it from Neil Littlejohns. Hi, Adam and Joe. I seem to have a bit of a problem related to your original Song Wars song, based on the Star Wars theme. My flatmate and I are currently playing through Lego Star Wars, the complete saga, together. After a friend of mine gave me the game for Christmas, the game makes very heavy use of the theme, but every time it plays, I can't help but sing the lyrics from your Song Wars theme.
Mm.
I don't particularly mind this, but I think my flatmate might be getting a little bit fed up with me singing song. Is that how it goes?
Song.
All the time.
That's fair enough, I would say. Stop it. That would be my advice.
Do you think there is a way for me to disassociate the Song Wars lyrics from the Star Wars theme, or will I forever sing your discarded lyrics whenever I hear the theme?
Well, you should write new lyrics yourself that would fit with the Star Wars theme, you know? Turn them into such an enjoyable little ditty that will forever be what you sing when you hear the Star Wars theme. I mean, you know, before we crapped all over it, it was Star Wars, Star Wars, right? That's what you would sing for yourself.
Lyrics, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Those are the official lyrics of Star Wars.
Hey, have you checked out the Family Guy version of Star Wars?
No, I'm boycotting that.
Really? Why?
I'm not a big Family Guy fan.
Neither am I, but that's funny.
Is it?
It's worth downloading. There's some funny bits.
Right.
I pop my head out of the window. Yeah? You can't tell that's funny, but in context, it's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it. Don't pay any money for it.
No.
Just watch it on YouTube.
Borrow it from a friend.
Borrow it from a friend whose name you don't know, who lives on the other side of the world, who's got a computer. here's another quick Song Wars-related email. Hi, Adam and Joe. Last week you read out a text from my sister, Lily, where she complained about Joe's alleged cheating on Song Wars. Since she heard her name on the radio, she's been walking around like she's Queen Latifah. Can you please read this out to prove that you'll read any old rubbish and help reset the siblingly balance of power? That's from Nick. Yes, I did it.
Done it. Maybe she is Queen Latifah. You ever think of that?
How does Queen Latifah walk, anyway?
She's certainly sassy.
She's got a big booty.
Yeah, you know, she wanders around as if she owns the whole area.
Yeah, she's a queen, after all.
Exactly.
Queen of the Latifahs.
If only she was the queen.
If only she was, there'd be a whole lot more booty shaking going on at Dap Alice.
And Wills and Harry, they would be more... What would they be more... They're like that already, though, aren't they? Okay, so Song Wars this week. Now, the theme, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but it's certainly what I constructed my song about, was instructional songs for children.
Yeah, I've got the original email here somewhere, but
we sort of deviated from that email somewhat. Someone suggested last week a kind of Danny Elfman thing for children.
Really stuck to the Danny
James,
Elfman thing.
James Houston from Scotland. Why not have a Song Wars in the style of a Danny Elfman-ish Disney song for kids, talking through some of the more mature themes that you've discussed in your feature today? So we kind of, we strayed from that a bit. We settled on instructional children's songs, right?
Yes.
So songs for children that have some element of a sort of educational element.
And yours is 40 minutes.
It's 40 minutes. No, yeah. It's not. It's like 150.
150?
Is it?
147.
Yeah.
See, that's quite long.
Is it?
Well, you see, I got some very negative reactions for going over the 2-minute mark last week. Ooh, lordy, people didn't like that.
Not from me.
So, No, you were nice about it. But I reined myself in, and I went back to the what I consider to be the core of the Song Wars ethos, which is something very short, pithy. I went for the 1-minuter. I actually used a backing track from GarageBand this time.
A little bit lazy.
You shouldn't even admit that, should I? But I did some...
So it's not composed, it's sort of...
Yeah, it's ready-made, but it's one that you used before yourself, actually.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You used it for the, you did your Stadium Bowie thing for...
The Meatballs.
Meatballs,
song.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, that's allowed. Anything's allowed musical-wise,
yeah.
Musical construction-wise. It's just bringing in more than one song that is not allowed.
Clearly.
So, so anyway, shall I play mine first?
Why not?
I'm
hot for it.
I'm pretty not confident. You know, I've got used to the whole world of loserdom. Don't start now.
What?
Because,
what?
You know?
I said you're making and then made a noise.
Yeah. We know what that means. We know it means that I'm not allowed to say absolutely anything because you think it'll prejudice the vote, even though I'm doomed to lose every week anyway.
You're doing very well. It's like 4-6, isn't it? Or something?
No, it's not 4-6.
Isn't it?
No. It's 7-3 or something like that. It's more like 8-3.
Is it 8-3?
Yeah. Anyway, so here is my song. This is an instructional song for children, and it's about, it's fairly self-explanatory. It's called Toothpaste Brush.
Every morning you should get a little toothpaste and pop it on the bristles on your brush. Then get to work with the brush and the toothpaste, cleaning off the dirt, no need to rush. I care so much for the health of my gums and teeth that I have a brushing session after eating every meal. And I also use some floss and some mouthwash and perhaps an interdental brush depending how I feel. Apart from cutting down on expensive dentist bills, this routine keeps my breath smelling nice. And of course I have to say that there's nothing worse than tooth decay. Look out for your teeth, that's my advice. An electric toothbrush is what dentists recommend. Just go easy or you'll mess up the enamel.
Come on, Meatballs!
Sorry. No, well, you know, I think I was a little more adventurous with that.
That
track
was good. That was good.
Than you were with your Meatballs,
yeah.
Bowie yodeling one. But anyway, there you go. That's Adam Buxton's one, Toothpaste Brush. What have you got for us, Joe Cornish?
I've got a song designed to teach kids right from wrong.
Oh, my Lord, that's a big subject.
It is. You know people are always complaining that kids don't know right from wrong. They've forgotten the distinction between right or wrong.
These days.
They're doing some really upsetting things. Mm. They're crossing lines that kids might not have crossed in the past.
Right.
And they've just forgotten right from wrong.
Okay, good. So you're going to sort that out
for
them? I'm
going to fix that.
Excellent.
It's a bit strong, this song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a bit strict and harsh.
Well, you got to be strict with the children these
days.
You
have to imagine me singing it in like a big knitted jumper.
Like Nick Hayward?
Or like a sort of grey, like Nick Hayward now, like slightly greying Nick Hayward.
Right, okay.
A kind fatherly figure.
Nick Hayward crossed with Val Dunican.
Yeah, I'm singing the verse and then the chorus is sung like by a big crowd of people and kids and the actual chorus line is sung by a chicken.
Okay.
Like a Cajun chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
This is good, man. I can't wait to hear this.
It's important that you visualize a Cajun chicken.
All right, then.
And so this is called the Right and Wrong Song.
To be polite? Is it right to work at school? Don't ever play the fool.
It's right!
This is a song about wrong and right.
And those things are right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
Is it right to have a smoke? Light a spliff or sniff some coke? Is it right to deal crack? There's nothing wrong with that.
It's wrong!
To sit up straight? Is it right to clean your plate? Is it right to clean your room? Learn facts about the moon.
It's right!
This is a song about wrong and right.
And those things are right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
Is it right to happy slap? Is it right to blat blat blat? Is it right to trash your place? Put your party on MySpace.
It's wrong!
So that's for kids, and you know, you can listen to it and then guess whether you think the things are right or wrong.
Right, right.
And then like the they go, right, it's right, or it's wrong, yeah. Depending on whether it's right or wrong. And then in future life, if you come across any of those situations, like if you're offered membership of a gang or drugs,
right,
you can think back to the right and right or wrong song. That's the idea.
Does it help you with your teeth at all?
It doesn't. No,
no, it doesn't. Does it?
That's where, yeah, that's where
that's
your
where
song
mine
has the
comes
upper
in.
Hand.
Yeah. And what's more useful at the end of the day, if you're sitting there, if you've got severe tooth decay, if you've just had, you know, you've spent the weekend with a rubber dam in your mouth and you're having all kinds
what's
of root canal.
Dam?
Well, you'll find out if you don't take care of your teeth. You will become familiar with the world of the rubber dam, my friend, and then you won't be singing your chicken song
you sure
so much anymore. I can't believe I'm going to have to sit there next week and listen to that chicken song again from
it's
Joe Cornish.
The chicken song.
That's who's singing it. You said
it's,
that.
It's a Cajun
chicken. The Cajun
chicken.
Is, I'm going to have to listen to that again, aren't I, next week? We're going to have to listen to them again before the end of the show, even. Not that it's a foregone conclusion or anything.
Absolutely not.
But that was Song Wars for the time being. We will return.
I'd say you're bound to win.
You reckon?
Because I've been cast in the light of like an evil something.
You see, you're the worst winner in the world. You win week after week and you and sulk
complain
and you
about
complain. That
I want to lose. I want to lose.
Right, right.
I want to feel what it's like to lose.
Here we go. Okay, music time, listeners. This is Sylvia Stripling. Is this new music?
This is mine.
Oh,
man.
This is yours.
Watch out before you hurt me even more.
Oh, Lordy. Come on, then.
Yeah, this is... I like this one. It's by Sylvia Stripling. It's called You Can't Turn Me Away. And I propose that this has the most satisfying sort of squidgy bass line ever.
When is this from, date-wise?
The past.
The past. I love that place. Mm. Here we go. The Undertones with Teenage Kicks. I was always confused by Fergal Sharkey when he was around. You know, I didn't know about the... Actually, no, my first exposure to the Undertones was a track called Julie Ocean or something like that. It was just after Teenage Kicks. And It's Gonna Happen. Do you remember that one? That was a good track as well. And then when Fergal came back with A Good Heart Is Hard to Come By, you used to like that one, didn't you, Joe?
Kinda.
You loved it.
I didn't. I don't own it. Fergal. I think my brother had it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never bought it.
Yeah, it was good. But I could never get over his cheekbones, man.
He's quite a proposition, isn't he? He's got a very particular voice, very kind of warbly, high-pitched voice, and then with the cheekbones.
With the cheekbones.
And then with the
with
hair.
With the cheekbones in the hair with already. The hair. Yeah, with this guy.
I logged on to a celebrity gossip video site last week called TMZ.
Lord.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of
it. It's a big noise in America. It's, if you want, like, celebrity tittle-tattle, you go to... TMZ, and it has all the latest paparazzi video footage from the streets of LA.
What does TMZ stand for?
Totally
mad
zebras. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw a headline. It said Seinfeld. He's not only funny, or something. I thought, good, some Seinfeld gossip. It was a video of Jerry Seinfeld outside a premiere in New York. He's standing in the street. Matthew Broderick comes out. Jerry Seinfeld says to Matthew Broderick, "Hey, Matthew, you got a ride?" Matthew Broderick says, I did have. I don't know where it is." Jerry Seinfeld goes, "Here." They go to the car. They get into the car.
It's the end. That was it.
That's what you want, isn't it?
Someone had posted that, yeah. And it was a big headline.
Right.
You know, I thought I was going to get news, but it was just them.
Was that YouTube? No, that's on their own site.
No, that's TMZ. Right. That's a big TMZ scoop. Broderick Seinfeld exchange words, get into car.
But could you see how many hits that had?
No, I bet it had millions, though.
Yeah, because you go on, you search for similar sort of things on YouTube, and there was one that purported to be someone getting into a fight with maybe Bruce Willis's minder or something like that. And basically, it was just some guy trailing along. Oh, no, it's Kiefer Sutherland's, that's right. Kiefer Sutherland's security guy. And this guy is sort of trailing along behind him. And this thing has got thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of hits. So I'm thinking, oh, this will be good. So check it out. And it's just this guy sort of going, excuse me, can I get a photo of Kiefer, please? And the guy's saying, no, can you leave him alone, please? Please, can I... Listen, buddy, leave him alone. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get rough with you, okay? And I don't want to do that. Please, come on. Come on, man. Just leave it alone, okay? And that's it.
Sounds good, man. Where's that YouTube?
Are you writing that one down underneath
what
the ash
search
note?
For?
Kiefer.
Security guard.
Guy. Ruckus, that kind of thing. But that's all you ever get on those things. I mean, it's...
I thought, you know, the thought process in my head was, why would people be interested in Seinfeld and Broderick, like, doing something completely boring just because they're famous? Is it interesting just to see famous people doing mundane things? Then I thought, yes, it is.
Well,
Celebrity Big Brother, isn't it?
That's true, isn't it?
So famous people are like weird cartoon characters.
You know
fun
what I was thinking about the other night was when I was reading my son a bedtime story. I was thinking how amazing it would be to see someone like Harrison Ford reading a bedtime story to his children. You know what I mean? Like, how amazing it would be to be the, if you could kind of teleport into the brain of his child and hear some really rubbish children's story read in that voice.
He wouldn't be very interested, would he, in the story?
No, but
he'd just be kind of bored.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You don't think he'd put his all into it?
No, that's his bag. He's
or like
kind
Anthony
of a...
Hopkins, you know?
Hopkins.
Imagine getting a bedtime story from Hoppo.
The kids probably have to pay.
Yeah, they'd probably be traumatized afterwards, no matter what it was. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Wow.
Yes.
Or De Niro. Has De Niro even got children?
You know, I'd like to be read a bedtime story by Adam Buxton.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I do all the voices.
I bet it's good.
It's good.
I bet it's good.
I'm reading Harry Potter to them at the moment.
Harry Potter.
And we mentioned J.K. Rowling earlier on. Boy, when you read it out loud, it's not very easy to read. She's got an amazing imagination and everything, and all credit to her, wonderful stories, etc. But brother, sometimes her prose is a little elliptical. That's all I'm saying. But if anyone's interested in me reading some children's stories, I'd be very happy to come into a studio and get paid loads of money. Do you think we could do that together, don't you think?
We should do that together.
Funny voices we would come up with. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Would you be any good at writing the stories?
Yes.
Then? You reckon you could write some stories?
Yes.
It's not that easy.
Oh, yes, it is for me.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that next week. Forget the song, we'll just bring in some children's stories. They only need to be about 200, 300 words.
Let's think about that.
You know, if you hook up with a good illustrator...
200 words.
That's all you need.
Illustrator?
Yeah, boy. You could do your own pictures. You're good at drawing.
Oh, you're talking about actually publishing books now.
Yeah. Everyone thinks about it. Do you ever see that episode of Black Books where they try and write children's books? That's a good episode. Anyway. Boy, we really rambled all over the area there. Let's have some more music now. This is the Mighty Morrissey with That's How People Grow Up. That's Morrissey with That's How People Grow Up. That's a new one from Mighty Moz, right?
Racist.
Racist. Yeah, there you go.
Don't know what I'm talking about, by the way.
No, exactly. Now, I had a little quandary, Joe. I want to run this past you,
sure.
Okay? And can I ask you, while I'm running this quandary by you, please don't start leaning into the mic and saying things like Adam Buxton talking, not Joe Cornish, that kind of thing, okay? Not that this is going to be particularly controversial. It's
all
just
right.
You've
done it for me anyway.
It's just a little grubby. I found this website, right, that has all these kind of classic films and amazing documentaries and stuff on it. But it also has classic filth on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Filth of yore, when filth was fun. Particularly enticing was a filthy version of Alice in Wonderland, which I've actually heard of before on my travels. And it looks pretty amazing. You know, like really well-made filth about Alice in Wonderland. What more could you
want?
This
is live action.
This is live action, yeah, yeah. And so I was thinking, that would be great. I would love to see the filthy version of Alice in Wonderland. But then, on the next page, when I was looking through the documentaries and stuff on there, they also had
this... Is this a DVD site?
Yeah, yeah, DVDs. Yeah. They also had The Sorrow and the Pity.
Right.
And I was thinking, I've never seen that. I've got to...
It's not that arousing.
I really... Well, no, exactly. But I really want to see it, right?
Right.
So I wanted to order both titles at the same time, but I thought, you can't do that. It's totally disrespectful. You know? That's outrageous. You can't order The Sorrow and the Pity and the filthy version of Alice in Wonderland.
What's the filthy version of Alice in Wonderland called?
I don't know. It's just... I don't think it's got a particularly ingenious
Alice
filthy title.
Alice in Bumderland.
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Listeners, you can suggest some titles just for our own amusement.
Alice in Bumderland?
Alice in Bumderland? I wouldn't buy it if it was called Alice in Bumderland. That just sounds rubbish. But anyway, maybe it was just called Filthy Alice or something. I don't know. But I was, you know, it's a bit of a quandary because, you know, the obvious solution is to order them separately, but then you have to pay extra post and packaging.
What's happening in your head? What do you imagine is happening in the office of Dirty Videos Incorporated when they receive your order? What do you think? Picture the scene. I mean, what's your nightmare scenario?
Well, I hope
your mum has got a part-time job there.
Yeah.
That's the worst it could be. And
right.
She's sorting through the orders and she's reading them all really carefully because she loves her job.
Yeah.
And ooh, Thomas Turner has ordered... Yeah, and making judgments about... Is that what you're afraid of?
No, I just think it's a sort of totally metaphysical quandary that I have. Like, I'm not even worried that I would get busted or anything. Mm. Like, I don't think I would go on any lists. It's all above board. But it just seems wrong, morally. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To order those two titles together.
I think... okay, let me sort it out this way. That in times of war,
yeah,
there is a lot of sexual activity.
Right.
In fact, during 9/11, you know, when the world changed, there was a big birth boom and a marriage boom. Equally, you know, during the Second and First World Wars, there was a big baby boom.
Yeah.
People like to, you know, counteract the violence and death with pleasure and birth.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it that way.
I will look at it
it's
that way.
It's a twin pack, a yin and yang. The sorrow and the pity...
And the film?
And the stiffy. It's a twin pack.
Excellent.
Triple pack.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cornish. That's exactly the answer I was hoping for. Now, listeners, here's a track that I have selected for you. This is from a man whose work I've only recently kind of stumbled across, Peter Hamill. He became famous in a band called Van de Graaff Generator. They were sort of prog behemoths in the 70s. And in 1977, as Van de Graaff Generator was breathing its last, Peter Hamill went out and he was making his solo album, The Future Now, I think it was called. And it's quite an extraordinarily odd album. And I'm going to play one of the oddest tracks from that album. It's a very sort of experimental thing that he's created. Bear in mind, this is 1978 or 77 that he's recording this. And it's him sort of tinkering in the studio and making a song all about what fun you can have tinkering in an analog studio in the pre-digital days. Just imagine the work he must have done with the razor blade to do this before Pro Tools or anything. This is Peter Hamill with The Cut. It's got quite a soft little intro here. The guitar's coming in. It goes pretty weird. Stick with it, listeners. See, now just goes wobbly for about a minute. A little weird sounds.
Incipient white noise.
He sounds a little bit like Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy, you know? Same sort of timbre to his voice there. That's Peter Hamill with The Cut from The Future Now. If you enjoyed that, listeners, if you didn't enjoy it, don't worry, I won't be playing it again anytime soon. But I like that one. If you like that kind of thing, incidentally... if you're adventurous of spirit musically, then I'm sure that you're already familiar with The Freak Zone here on BBC Six Music, hosted by the excellent Stuart McConey. That's from 5 p.m. Lasts a couple of hours, doesn't it? 3 hours. 3 hours of experimental fun. His mission is to only play that kind of thing, you know, really way out stuff. For 3 hours here on BBC Six Music, that's The Freak Zone with Stuart McConey on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's trail time!
Six Music.
Oh my gosh. Oh golly. That was Soul Wax with Much Against Everyone's Advice. That was a session track. That's what they sound like when they're strutting their stuff
live, Joe Cornish.
That was recorded before the world changed in June 2000, when there was no fear in the world.
No,
do
it
you
was.
Remember those days?
It was good times. Everyone was singing and dancing.
Yeah, there was nice.
Yeah,
there was flowers and people, green grass. There
you know,
was peace
if
all
you
over the
wanted
world.
To hold hands with a person,
you could.
It was fine.
The
it wasn't a big problem.
Didn't come
problem.
And beat you to the floor with
no.
their electro prods.
Exactly,
back
and
then.
You didn't instantly catch some kind of revolting disease. in the olden days.
So that's all rubbish.
Good times.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're going to do a few more Text the Nations in a while.
We should wrap that up soon.
We'll be replaying the Song Wars again before the end of the show. We've only got 37 minutes left. You know the plane business?
Oh, the Captain Coward.
Yeah, all of that business. Yeah. The narrowly averted disaster. The brave co-pilot who saved everybody. This is a plane, you've probably read about it in the papers, listeners, that nearly crashed at Heathrow, but luckily didn't. I read a quote in the paper, and this is, of course, not making light at all of what could have been a very grave situation. I read a bit in the paper from a quote from a worker on the ground about the crash who said, and I quote, "It's a miracle. The man deserves a medal as big as a frying pan." I like the idea that medals, you know, go by their size,
sure.
their surface area.
Absolutely.
It would make the Poppy Day Parade, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Make that more fun, wouldn't it?
Remembrance.
Really big medals.
Giant poppies.
Couple of meters.
Yeah.
In circumference.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's not really how it works, though, is it?
Well, that was the logic on Wacky Races, wasn't it?
Catch really, the pigeon. Giant medals.
He wanted, Muttley was always after the largest medal, because some of the most valuable medals...
The Jim will fix it medal, that's quite big.
That is
that's
large.
That's the biggest medal known to man, isn't it?
But the
it?
Purple Heart and the George Cross, they tend to be fairly small.
Yeah, because, you know, the idea is quantity, not size.
That's right.
What would be impressive would be a guy at the Poppy Day Parade, or whatever it's called, Army Day, where they all march up and down... Who was wearing an entire suit made out of metals.
Metals?
From head to foot, medals.
Medals.
Chain, almost like chainmail.
Right.
Can you picture it?
I can.
Just row up, like, a bit like Martin Fry's gold lamé suit.
Yeah.
But he would be the bravest soldier.
Unless he was someone like Alexander McQueen. He hadn't earned any of the medals. He was being totally disrespectful, and it was just some kind of fashion
that would
comment on the meaninglessness
that
of that kind of decoration.
There is no meaninglessness.
Literally using it as decoration. Okay? You, right?
How facile.
Think about that.
How specious.
Typical Alexander McQueen to do something like that. He's a disgrace. Is anyone else outraged by this suit made of medals that Alexander McQueen has made?
What? Has he made that suit?
No, he hasn't.
No.
I just got carried away.
Is anyone outraged at the suit of medals he hasn't made?
Exactly. Get to work, McQueen. What do you do all day, for goodness sake? The so-called enfant terrible of fashion. You don't shock me.
Is he responsible for the plane crash? McQueen?
Probably.
Probably.
He did his best to bring the plane down, but no, it didn't quite work. That's not true, listeners. None of that. That's not true. He didn't have anything to do with the mercifully averted plane disaster.
You're really angry with him anyway.
I'm absolutely sick of the so-called enfant terrible of the fashion world.
Let's have some music to, and you can hit something to the beat.
Is this new music now? Rapture with what I...
It's an acronym, W-A-Y-U-H.
What does it stand for?
What does it stand for?
They not supply you with the details of the acronym.
This song's going to tell us. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Rapture with W-A-Y-U-H.
Stands for woo, all right, yeah, uh-huh.
I'm not sure that's worthy of an acronym, though. That violates all kind of acronym codes. I mean...
It does, doesn't it? It's not like a compressed sentence.
You should only use an acronym for a proper sentence, I think. Those are just sort of utterances, you know?
Very angry this morning. It's a campaigning show this morning.
You shouldn't start... putting utterances into acronyms, because then everything gets totally confused and meaningless. You know, there's chaos in the world then. Things start disappearing into black holes. It's like time bandits, you know?
Do you like news?
I love news.
Do you long for a pair of newsreaders that make the news sexy again, that dare to care, that make it dramatic, inclusive, take it seriously, but at the same time aren't afraid to raise an eyebrow at some of the more... extraordinary things going on in the world.
I'd love that, but if only there were a pair like that.
There are.
Really?
They're called Harvey Cook and Ruth Barnes. And here they are! Yes, that's Radiohead with Jigsaw Falling Into Place. That's got a particularly good video. I don't know whether you've seen it, Adam.
It's amazing.
If you haven't seen the video for that, listeners, you can check it out. For some reason, it's linked to on our page here at Six Music. It's very, very good.
Apparently the person who made it is like a genius.
I've heard that he dresses
what
like
have you heard?
A genius.
What have you heard about
I've
him?
I've heard he dresses like a genius.
Yeah, what else have you heard?
But actually now.
What?
No, he is a genius. He is a genius.
Yeah. Have you heard
that? He is a genius.
Well, it's him and another person as well, of course, Garth Jennings.
That's right.
But what else have you heard about the other person?
I've heard that he's really tall. He's like a short brown hair. Yeah. His name's Joe.
Oh, no.
And he's wicked.
That's wrong. That's incorrect. Incorrect information.
What would you do if I got an award for directing that Radiohead video?
I would say, plus ça change, business as usual in the Adam and Joe camp. I love that song, man. I can't get enough of it.
Thanks, man. Thanks a
lot. Gives me the chills. You are not responsible for that song.
How about this song?
Hang on. Oh, hang on. Just before you play that.
It's going to be good.
Sorry, man, to interrupt your little smash there. But for Radiohead fans, I just wanted to say that Colin Greenwood, the mighty bassist from the mighty Radiohead, is co-presenting Brain Surgery with Mark Riley here on BBC Six Music on Thursday, commencing at 9:30 in the PM. So I will be listening.
Is that sensible? Is he trained in brain surgery?
Yeah. All of Radiohead can do brain surgery. They're clever, man.
Is it good radio?
They lived in Cambridge. They didn't go to Cambridge University, but just living in Cambridge means that you're able to perform a very simple brain surgery operation. Nothing too complicated, but basic brain surgery they can do.
Hey, listen to this tune.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Of course, it was They Live in Oxford. I'm thinking of Pink Floyd, you see. That's the other mighty band.
It doesn't matter. Just focus on the videos. It's fine. My ears really hurt after that jingle.
And you said he was sexy, the guy that did it? Attractive, the video?
The video? Yeah. And he did it with Adam Buxton. Two of them. Okay, it's time to wrap up Text the Nation. We've been asking you to suggest celebrity restaurants. What sort of decor they would have and what kind of food they'd serve.
Do you reckon this is one of our best Text the Nation?
It just makes me feel like I'm like Chris Moyles or something. But anyway, we've actually had some good ones.
Chris Moyles is one of the most successful DJs in history.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's any good.
Oh, come on.
He is brilliant. Dear Adam and Joe, was that sincere?
No, didn't come across as.
Dear Adam and Joe, I'm allowed to have opinions?
Yeah. Are you there?
Am I? Dear Adam and Joe, how about an establishment based on the work of Mark E. Smith called The Man Whose Gut Expanded? It would have a limited supply of crisps, but a plentiful supply of boozes and substances. There would be a rapid turnover of staff at the whim of the grumpy proprietor, resulting in an erratic but strangely satisfying experience.
That would be good, and you could have little ciggies on the table. When you sit down next to your knife and fork, you get a ciggy.
Ciggies. That's from Chris Eccles. Is that the name of a full song, The Man Who's Gut Expanded?
I don't know, man. There's
a
lot of
play
full
on
songs.
Words? What's going on there?
Well, The Gut of the Quantifier is a full song. That might be, a good name for a restaurant.
Here's one from Andy in Folkestone. Morrissey could open Meat is Murder.
Mm.
There'd be live cows and an abattoir next to the kitchen. When people order a steak, he will wheel a cow into the abattoir and say in a loud voice, could you do a Morrissey voice?
What does he say? Where is he? Is this really what you want? You want me to put a ball through his head, you murderer? What's wrong with my geranium soup? That's not a very good Morrissey.
That was like Ken Corder.
Yeah, it was. He wasn't even from Manchester.
Tom from Kettering says, Mr. Beans, where Rowan Atkinson provides a variety of bean-themed dishes.
Nice.
And not just baked beans. I'm thinking chilies and kidneys, too.
That's very good.
Yeah?
I was thinking maybe the Meat is Murder one was going to be a celebration of the... No.
No.
Because that would be a nice little twist on it, but
you're
obviously
thinking wrongly.
Morrissey would have to do a 180 on his vegetarian
Jack Peake.
Views.
That's a good name, Jack Peake.
Mm-hmm.
The Flaming Lips should open a restaurant eponymously named The Flaming Lips.
Right.
Serving especially hot food, jalapeno pepper-laden pizzas, vindaloos, etc. They would also have especially capacious toilets that played soothing classics from their albums. Kind of like a chill-out area.
That's good, man.
That's from Jack. Andy Richards. Good morning, lads. Britney Spears could open an all-you-can-eat restaurant called Gimme More, where you're plagued by paparazzi from the moment you arrive, and halfway through the meal, they take your kids away. That's quite good, isn't it? I like the idea of being plagued by paparazzi.
Yeah.
That's quite easy. It's cheap. Just get students to do it.
Right.
No film in the camera, just flashes. Or maybe there is film in the camera.
Yeah.
And you buy the pictures on the way out.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a brilliant idea. And you have a red carpet exactly. and a crowd of...
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good idea. Who's that from? Andy Richards.
Let's do it, Andy.
Because you've sent that into the Big British Castle, it's now our copyright property.
We're going to nick that idea off you.
We'll have all the money as
Hooray!
Well. Andy T in Brighton, Robert De Niro could have a place where he prowls around menacingly with sharp knives by the rotisserie called Are You Cooking At Me?
Yeah.
That's quite good. Vordman, this is from Nikki in Paignton. Vordman, detox smoothies, letters stroke numbers games on a big screen, Count Dine.
Countdown. Quite posh.
Good, isn't it? Yeah.
Into Countdown.
Adam in London, a restaurant serving low-fat food for the bodily paranoid by the Kaiser Chiefs called I Predict a Diet.
Nice. That's good, man. Maybe he's got one of the guys on the writer's strike.
That's the end.
That's the end of Text the Nation for this week. Well, we still got to revisit Song
We're
Wars
rapidly
before
running
the show
out of time.
Ends. Oh, my lordy. There's less than 20 minutes left.
Hey, shall I quickly pop in a factoid?
Yeah, go on then.
Podcast of this show, listeners, will be available from when? Next week?
Tomorrow.
From tomorrow. So
6 p.m.
iTunes. It'll be a kind of filleted version of this film's film.
Is it a film?
Are we in a film?
We are in a film.
Feels like I'm in a film. Of this show. Yeah, and it's available from tomorrow.
Shame they had to from start tomorrow. With this show.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's a good one.
It'll be good by the time we chop all the fat off. And thereafter, every 6 p.m., every Sunday, you'll be able to hear the condensed Adam and Joe Show podcast.
Downloadable via iTunes. That's exciting, isn't it?
And we are, listeners, still working on yet another podcast for you. Which will be sort of stuff that hasn't been broadcast. It'll be saucy, all kinds of dangerous stuff there. But we'll tell you more as things develop. But right now, here's a track that Joe's chosen for you.
Yeah, what's this? Oh, yeah, this is a good bit of old school hip hop from a time when hip hop wasn't about killing or bragging, when it was about brotherness and togetherness. This is a band called Brand Nubian. This song's called Wake Up. Brand Nubian with Wake Up. I love that one.
Assalamu alaikum. He's got a manly voice, that guy.
Yeah, I like it when rappers almost sing.
Mm-hmm.
When there's proper melody in the speech.
Right.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah, everyone cares about what I like.
Yeah, and who's the other guy? Lab Cabin California, who did that?
They're called the Far Side.
Far Side, yeah, they do a little really bit of that, good. Don't they?
Yeah, they've split up, sadly.
That's a shame. Right, it's time for...
It's time for Song Wars. The War of the Songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
It's time for Song Wars, the part of the show where we both record, we compose and record songs individually on a theme, and then we kind of battle them.
And then we get emails from people telling us how bad they are.
Shouldn't bother.
And how we shouldn't bother.
Here's an email, a nice one, though, from Nick and Denise. They say simply, our five-year-old, and I should remind people who've just tuned in that we've already played these songs earlier in the show, so Nick and Denise have heard them. Our five-year-old said she found it very difficult to judge.
Mm.
That's in quotes. Very difficult to judge.
Wow.
So that's good.
That's nice of your five-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another one that says, this is from Lakshmi and Mark in Leeds. Dear Adam and Joe, we love your show. Has anyone ever told you that your voices sound nearly identical? We have trouble telling you apart, especially in Song Wars, making it difficult to vote.
I wouldn't agree with that. I say our speaking voices can sometimes sound a little similar.
Jude's actually panned us, so Adam is on the... the right,
Adam's on the right,
and I'm on the left, if you have a stereo radio.
This is Adam talking right now.
Yeah. And should we flip the songs around? Should we start with my song?
All right, then.
So this is Joe's song. The theme this week, listeners, was instructional songs for children that might, you know, teach them something. So these are songs for kiddies. My song's called The Right and Wrong Song. This is to teach kids to be able to discern the difference between right and wrong. See if you, as an adult, can tell during this song which things are right and which are wrong. Here we go.
Fun. It's wrong.
This is a song about right and wrong.
And those things. right? Is it right to be polite? Is it right to work at school? Don't ever play the fool.
It's right!
This is a song about wrong and right.
And those things are right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
Is it right to have a smoke? Light a spliff or sniff some coke? Is it right to deal crack? There's nothing wrong with that.
It's wrong!
Sit up straight. Is it right to clean your plate? Is it right to clean your room? Learn facts about the moon.
It's right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
And those things are right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
Is it right to happy slap? Is it right to blat blat blat? Is it right to trash your place? Put your party on my space.
It's right.
There we go. That's Joe's song this week. It's called The Right and Wrong Song. If you
Is that
want
you
to...
playing recorder there?
No, that's off of GarageBand.
No.
Yeah.
You've got recorder skills though, don't you? Or Annabelle does, anyway.
Annabelle does, yeah. I've got kind of, you know, I was educated up to the age of 7 in recorder.
Mm.
If you want to vote for that one, you text Joe to 64046. Or if you want to vote for Adam's, you text Adam to 64046. Or if you're listening again, email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Now, here is my song, listeners. This is Adam's song, and it's called Toothpaste Brush.
Every morning you should get a little toothpaste and pop it on the bristles on your brush. Then get to work with the brush and the toothpaste, cleaning off the dirt, no need to rush. I care so much for the health of my gums and teeth that I have a brushing session after eating every meal. And I also use some floss and some mouthwash, and perhaps an interdental brush depending how I feel. Apart from cutting down on expensive dentist bills, this routine keeps my breath smelling nice. And of course I have to say that there's nothing worse than tooth decay. Look out for your teeth, that's my advice. An electric toothbrush is what dentists recommend. Just go easy or you'll mess up the enamel.
Sort of abrupt ending there. You see, that caught everyone by surprise.
The enamel.
It's true, you know, if you go too hard on the teeth,
that's true,
you can damage the enamel, and you don't want to do that.
No.
So that's a little instructional song there for children. I thought that, you know, in my defense there, because I'm my prospects are bleak, I have to say. Your song's impressive,
so.
Man, and you know, it's you're dealing with more universal topics than I am.
Mine might be overproduced.
Yeah.
And people might not like it. They might, you know, they might think it's like voting for McDonald's against a nice little knitted woolly sock or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like that. I do know exactly what you mean. So anyway, that was Adam Buxton's toothpaste brush track. So vote for me, listeners. If you, a vote for me is a vote for teeth and the care thereof, which is an important thing, you know, to worry about. But that's pretty much it for our show. A couple of housekeeping reminders. Don't forget our podcast is available from 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. That's the condensed version of this show. And also, if you'd like to get hold of various jingle jangles and things for your phone, like the Text the Nation jingle, there's various edits we've done there of that jingle that'll go on your phone. Go to the WAP site. All you have to do is text the word mobile on your mobile phone and... No, yeah, text the word mobile to 64046, 64046, and then that'll take you to the website and you'll find all kinds of amazing little bits of rubbish there to improve your life.
That's pretty much it for this week. Thanks to everybody who's texted and emailed. Keep emailing in. We read everything that you send, even during the week. Even during the week.
We should say that the guy who proposed to his girlfriend earlier on, Claire.
She say yes.
She say yes.
Oh.
So that's our first marriage here on
that
the Adam and Joe 6
Music Show.
That means
we can have sex with either of you at any point. Remember that.
Okay.
The lovely Liz Kershaw's coming up soon. Stay tuned for that. We'll see you next Saturday.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.